It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, Thunderstruck by Ray McGovern, CIA. You know, Ray is such a good guy. I've got to know him over the years, and I tell you, I always got to respect someone that's willing to go up against a man. And there's been a lot of guys like this. You know, Russell Tice from the NSA, and he's out spilling his guts and whistleblowing on what's going on there. Sybil Edmonds, you know, we've had her on, and so I got to know her well. Because I tell you, you know, it's a small community. It's a very small community. I mean, you'll have some people across the spectrum. You got Cindy Sheehan, the progressive on the left, kind of not backing down. We leave right now. Right now. You know, whatever her other politics are, she definitely was not, you know, advocate for the war right now. Sybil Edmonds, she was a translator for the FBI after 9/11. She goes to the FBI and says, hey, you know, my father was a diplomat. I speak Farsi. I speak, I think Farsi is Iran. And then she spoke Turkish and she spoke some other. So I'm going, okay, you know, that was a good thing to do. You had these skills and she put it out. The FBI, they call her up, say, come on down, start translating all this chatter we got, all these surveillance tapes we have on everybody. And then she starts to find out what's really going on. She looks for immunity. They're like, oh, heck no. If you say anything, you're going to be tried for treason. Why? Because she knew what was happening. There was all kinds of bribery of congressmen. There was all kinds of corruption and drugs and arms through Turkey with people out of Iraq and the U.S. government and on and on and on. She spoke the language. She's sitting there listening as she's translating. And then she finds out the very people that she's investigating, they have plants from that company that started working right next to her. She's going, hey, she's part of the people I've been translating, telling you what. And they go, oh, shh, don't worry about it. You'll get your paycheck. You just do your job and just translate whatever. Your job is not to interpret or make policy decision or anything. You just send a report on up, and then they'll put it in the drawer. That's what got Sybil Edmonds in trouble, is she knew what was really going on. She knew about the drug running. She knew about the arms running. She knew that we were doing behind the closed-door deals and people making money and congressmen being bribed and all kinds of stuff. It got to the point one time is that one of the female congressmen, they had a beautiful Turkish agent found out that this congressman was lesbian also or bisexual or whatever and did their best to seduce her to get her compromised with photos and so on with a Turkish agent lover. And I'm like, ooh, that'd make a good movie. So, and even something as juicy as that, you know, oh, breaking news. Britney Spears got a new belly button ring. You see my point? You know, that's what Ray knows about the government, the corporate media. It's all the same thing. How do you continue when everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people know what's really going on? You know, the one thing that was they went to such effort to make sure that people didn't whistleblow, that they were prosecuted, that you weren't allowed to say, that they go in and say, hey, look, man, I'll tell Congress everything. You give me immunity, man, I'll spill my guts. You'd think Congress would be okay. No, heck no. Nope, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. Well, there's a lot of this stuff going on right now. Daniel Ellsberg, I remember interviewing him several times, and I just made a note to my producer to try and get him on. He was the one that released the Pentagon Papers. And this was, and things about Watergate and all this, this were infinitesimal. And these were just big news because they were, you know, kind of not released before. There was fresh. It was a new concept. It was, oh my goodness, you know, the government's lying to me. Heavens to Murgatroyd. I had no idea. Well, now we're like, you know, we know they're lying because their lips are moving. So what's it going to take to get them all worked up now? Well, the reason we want to talk to Daniel is we have this gentleman, Orange, that is perceived to be the guy behind WikiLeaks. They tried to stop it with a court order out of California, some judge, and then I think it was overturned. But the main thing was they're going, yeah, you don't have jurisdiction over this, you know, ether, you know, this cyberspace out in Lord knows where. That's why in 2004 we were such big supporters of Spaceship One, civilians going into space, Falcon 9, you know, Bigelow Aerospace, all this stuff that you have no idea what's going on. You don't know. You go to Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and on the top navigation bar, you'll see it says Archives. It says front page, page two, Archives. You go to the second one down, it says Contents Listed by Subject. You click on that, every subject that we have is in there, okay? All the subjects that we put. I mean, from, you know, archaeology to zoology. I mean, you know, it's just every subject we put stuff in. Go to S. S for Space. You got space travel and exploration. It is amazing what is happening right, not later. It is coming fast. And what's one of the things that they're going to be doing? We're going to be putting up our own communication satellites. What happens when you have Google has all their servers in a space station with a crew of 30 in there managing it? Oh, don't think so? 2017, Bigelow Aerospace, the space stations that they're going to be putting up from their modules, they already have two that's been in orbit for, I don't know, a couple of years. They're on 15,000th orbit or something. They're putting up 36 people in space. They have 15 to 20 space flights that they've already booked. Falcon 9 just launched off Cape Canaveral a couple of weeks ago, first rocket capable of going to the moon, and Mars is next. This is phenomenal advances. Never hear about it. They're not going to talk about it. They have a thing called Rocket Racing League. You go on, you just type in Rocket Racing League. It's NASCAR for space planes. What they're doing is they have a track that you can go out in the desert and you can watch and you see their plumes and so on, and then they coast and they do it. And the reason they're doing it is because they know the biggest hurdle that they have is rapid refueling. It's really not that big a deal, especially with Spaceship One and Spaceship Two, that they, you know, take a mothership up, they drop it at 60,000 feet or whatever, it goes up into space and it comes back down, they can launch into orbit. In fact, I remember, must have been in the 80s, they had a carbon fiber cylinder, it was called Pegasus, and it was launched from an F-16 high up in the atmosphere, and it went to orbit. Went into space. And it was just rocket, the same concept that they used for Spaceship One. Who built that? Burt Rutan. You know, Pegasus, look it up. You know, so it's called Scaled Composites. That's the name of the company that he builds all of these space planes and so on. So that's when they wanted to do this, X Prize to get a cash prize of, I think it was $20 million or $10 million or whatever to put and the weight of three astronauts up into space and then back down and do it again within 14 days without changing the spacecraft dry unfueled weight more than 10%, then you had to have 90% of the spacecraft still, you know, reusable spacecraft, and you do it again within 2 weeks, you win. Once Rutan got involved, man, I knew, here we go. So now what are we going to have? We're going to have Google with servers on the moon in orbit, space stations to serve them, other industries, on and on and on and on and on and on. And then the U.S. wants to get ahead of this, man. They're like, oh, heck no. So what did you just have last month? You know, the X-37 or whatever it is, a secret little Uber space plane that they put up. It's a robotic little shuttle kind of thing. And what are they afraid of? It's armed. You're going to have missiles from space. Within an hour, you can have a Hellfire hitting anywhere they want. You know, the Predator drone Reapers, shoot, man, that's old-fashioned. We're going to war from space. And that was always the big thing. No, we're not militarized in space, blah, 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 blah. And I'd like, oh, they wouldn't do that. That would be wrong. You know, that'd be against some treaty or something. Now I'm wow, how bad does it have to get before you start to get concerned? I'm relatively concerned. And it's going to be done in your name. I guarantee it's going to be done with your name on the check, I can tell you that. They're going to expect you to pony up for that. And if you don't do it with just cash, you're going to pay for it in inflation by them just printing money. It's the same way Dr. Paul made that clear. I mean, that was probably one of the best services he did this country, for you to understand by them just printing money. It's like them taking money out of your pocket. Oh, we'll talk about the future in a little bit.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And just make you feel a little better because it always does. That's a generational thing. Mine. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. On freedomsphoenix.com, we cover a wide range of things, and I'm glad that we get to, you know, spend a lot of time with some great guests here on the show and so on. But, you know, in the last hour, you know, a lot of times I just give myself a present and home, just chill. Because I want to look into the positive aspects of humanity, the positive future that we have for us, the things that we are capable of, the good, the creation, the birth, the love. And there's so many things, and I don't want to dwell on the evil all the time. If I'm going to be doing 3 hours, well, guess what? One of them gets to be, you know, always with the positive waves, man. And, you know, and we'll kind of cross over a little bit here on good, bad, and here it is. It's the AR drone. Okay, let me tell you what happened. Last January, Freedoms Phoenix went to, represented by me. I mean, you know, you gotta, you know, be a press thing and you send in your credentials and you do all this stuff and you get the shiny badge and all the goodies and everything and you go to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And I mean, that's the big one. You want to know what 3D television looks like? Well, you go there and they're going to show you, especially the first couple of days. It's always industry. It's just industry. It's buyers, sellers, retailers, marketers. It's people inside the consumer electronics industry. And the only way that I get to go is as a journalist. And, you know, because we cover a lot of stuff on, you know, techno gadgets and computer hardware and software on Freedoms Phoenix, you know, we're able to get press credentials. So I go to Vegas, and it was like a 4 or 5 day thing. I only went, you know, like 2 half days. I just wanted, the main thing that I was looking for was batteries. I wanted to see what was coming new in battery technology. And what happens, consumer electronics shows is not necessarily, you know, science, future kind of research and development. This is the beginning of something that you're going to use in your consumer electronics. It's more the end result. By the time it gets to the Consumer Electronics Show, it's already developed, it's done, they already got it packaged and a label on it in the boat. So I go there and I kept looking and looking. I'm talking to different people and they told me where to look, and this is a group that's doing some cool stuff and this is doing some decent things and so on, because I understood energy. Remember, I was always talking about transportation, communication, energy, and materials, you know, and, you know, clothing, shelter, that kind of stuff. But I mean, if you focused on energy, man, you could see the future prices of stuff is going to be totally different when you make it cheap to be able to have energy. I mean, heck, you could live in a cardboard box and, you know, freaking Arctic if you got enough energy. You know, you just I got my glowing, whatchacallit, I just want to break the wind. You know, I got plenty of energy. So energy makes a big difference. Transportation is so you can go to the Antarctica for a couple hours on a Sunday afternoon after you went to church. I mean, you know, it's just boom, rocket ship man zooming around doing whatever, you know, the transportation. Communication. Hey, you know, you're talking to your wife and your daughters while you and your sons are at the Antarctica in your cardboard box with your nuclear-powered furnace, daylight, whatever, you know, and you'll be back for dinner. I mean, you know, transportation, communication, energy, man, it just changes everything. Well, materials also. I mean, sometimes the thickness of cardboard, it might have the R value of 30 inches of styrofoam or something. Oh, yeah. Panasonic had that very thing. What they had done at the Consumer Electronics Show is they demonstrated the thermal capabilities of their new design that they, it's a long story, but this is what it is. You see like these silver Mylar balloons. So you have, imagine you got a square of that, a square foot of that, a tile, okay? It'll be about a quarter of an inch thick, and it's filled with just crisscross matted kind of fiber optic strands. I don't know if it's just extra fiber optics or they just fiberglass and they just put in whatever. It's fiberglass. And it's just fiber optic just like hairs that are in there. So most of it is open space and they sandwich it with this Mylar sheeting on the front and back and then they vacuum pack it. So what it makes is like a eighth inch to a quarter inch depending on which one you get. That's kind of like the insulated plastic sandwich boxes that you give kids now. You know, you put your stuff in. It's like a little sandwich. It's insulated. Well, this is super insulation because it's vacuum packed. So imagine you take these, mother, they're fireproof. You know, you take and you just, you know, sheet all your underneath your drywall. You know, you put it on your buildings. If you do this really thin thing, boom, it's worth, I don't know, 2 inches of styrofoam or something. So I'm going, okay, there's an example. Yeah, you got me thinking about, you know, cardboard being inside going, yeah, that's right. I did see that. They had that. They showed it. Well, right next to it where Panasonic was doing that, the reason I went over to the Panasonic area, and it was in the first day, they were just setting up and everything. You kind of get in a little early, get to see what's what, take pictures and such. I go in there, and I wanted to see the new Panasonic battery. They announced a battery that would be able to run a home for 7 days. You just charge, your power goes out, that's all right, just flips over automatically to battery power. You know, I'm going, really? And it's, and I'm going, I don't know if it's going to be cooling a home in Phoenix, Arizona in the summer for 7 days. I can, you know, tell you that. But it's, and it's about the size of a trunk, you know. So I'm going, okay, you know, that's cool. You know, we can do that. And let's go ahead and take a look. I'll go ahead and pull it up here and see if we have it. Yep, there it is. And Tesla, which is one of the car companies now, Tesla Motors, that makes high-performance electric vehicles, they go, well, heck, that's, you know, what we've been waiting for. You know, we'll use that because they were using, like, laptop batteries, you know, lithium-ion batteries that they were just making a whole bunch of little batteries. They're like little AA batteries. They come in little packs, but all they are is just little AAs that are just all bunched together. And they said, okay, well, we got this. Tesla Motors, the maker of high-performance electric vehicles, is working with Panasonic, the battery and consumer electronics giant, to develop the next generation of batteries. The partnership is intended to help Tesla power lower the cost of its batteries and improve the range of its vehicles. Well, already Tesla's got a Roadster that already goes over 244 miles, you know, on one charge. You know, and these new batteries store as much as 30% more energy than the previous lithium-ion batteries. This is why I was so interested in going. I wanted to see battery technology in, you know, in use. Well, you know, they didn't really, you know, impress me, except they had a couple of little gadgets that were using advanced batteries. Let me tell you what one of those were. It's called an AR drone. Now, they just announced today, we put up on the top of Freedom's Phoenix, one of the readers of Freedom's Phoenix, a young man named Ben, he called me and he said, Ernie, they're going to announce the price. They're going to announce the price at 1 p.m. today. And we've been looking, all right, clicking, 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 1 p.m. Pacific time, and they still didn't do it. Well, they finally, the price just came up. What this is, before I tell you what the price is, I'm going to tell you what it does. It's a four-bladed, feet square, four blades, little helicopter toy, looks like. And I had them playing in there, and they're doing all kinds of demonstrations and everything, but this is what's unique about this one. You operate it from your iPhone. You don't have a joystick or controller. It's your iPhone in your pocket. You go, okay. And it has a bunch of automatic pilot. You can have it hover. It has infrared sensors that you sit there and you can set how high you want it to hover. You can have it hover in place. You can have it hover in place in front of a fan. It just, you know, has a geopositional stuff because it has all the technology of a smartphone. Because when you do, you'll see on iPhones, it has what they call accelerometers, so that when you turn the phone, you're playing a video game, you can turn the car. But how you're turning the phone in there. I mean, you're not pushing any buttons or slides or anything. You're just turning it. This AR drone has two cameras. One that looks down, one that looks forward, and it goes onto your iPhone. You watch in real time flying it as you're sitting in your couch going around your neighborhood. What if you're a hunter? What if you just want to check out the back property or the back 40? Oh, I'll tell you how much it costs when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, yeah. Your smile speaks books to me. Break up.
There, your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, if I can just make you smile in this last hour, we're just going to chill for a little bit and think of, what the future might bring. Because I'm really excited about it. I always have been. You know, that's what drove me to do a lot of the things that I do is I'm just so pissed that the government, the man, the somebody, is preventing me from getting all my goodies. You know, if I can, I tell you what, one thing that I realized. If I can imagine it, I get it throughout my entire life. And I'm going, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have that? You know, let me go on Craigslist. You know, I can't think of anything they don't have. You know, I mean, it'd be nice to have warp speed and, you know, teletransportation kind of, you know, whatever. But it's amazing. Any little gizmo whiz bang gadget, you know, you can think of, they got. You know, I'll do that. 3D printers. You know, I'll tell you about that. That is cool technology. But first, I want to finish up on this AR drone. What happened? We were at the. They had a cage, and it was like about the size of half the size of a volleyball court. Now, you had the half size of a volleyball court, and they had it probably about 12, 14 feet high, and it was in a net mesh, kind of like a soccer goal. And they had it in there, and they were demonstrating, flying it around, so on. Sometimes they go outside, and they did all these demonstrations. And what it is this little four-blade helicopter that, or hovercraft, whatever you want to call it, and it would go high. And they have other ones. They have gas ones and other electric ones. And this one in Germany is really cool that can carry a Coke bottle filled. I mean, it was just, yeah, that's a whole nother thing. And it's got its own little issues and so on, too, but that's probably more expensive. This one has, imagine you go camping. We're going to go camping. You know, we want to get a lay of the land. We want to go find it. Where are the kids? You know, I got my 10-year-old, you know, blah, blah, grandson out doing whatever, or your kid or something. You know, whoop, you go up, and right on your iPhone, it shows the camera underneath and the camera in front, and you can talk between the two, and you're looking, there they are. You get down, it doesn't have yet. That'd be a good idea. Put a speaker on it. Hey, get your butt home, man. Yeah, that's next. But anyway, so you go up. You see what's going on. That'd be good if you were out hunting. You know, maybe you want to go check out where the game is. Maybe you want to see, you know, where the bad guys or the good guys or whatever's coming, going, keep track of surveillance on, somebody. You know, I mean, the government does it. That's one thing that I saw about this. Oh, this is definitely government technology kind of thing they're doing to us. And if they're not going to, they sure as heck are. And now, all of a sudden, we put it in the hands of the people for the low, 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 rock bottom, rip them off price of $299. I was expecting it to be, you know, between $500 and $1,000. I knew they can just bend us over on this one. $299. I know what they're going to do. They're going to start, you know, having all kinds of options and upping it and bigger and better and whatever. The technology in this is the smartphone chips. They've gotten phones so small and so light with so much computation power that they have been able to put them into small vehicles that can actually fly. It's a battery. It lasts about 15, 20 minutes. But it's going to keep going up. And they charge really fast. Put on a charger, one, two, three, boom, done. See, that's another thing. They have a new battery technology coming out that we've been tracking called capacitor batteries. And what happens is, you know, I'm probably not the best person to describe it, but I'll give you kind of the concept, the idea, and you'll kind of get it. When you have a coil on your car, it charges up and it produces a spark a lot. You know, I mean, often. You know, you got 8,000 RPM times four cylinders, half of them are firing, you know, it's like a bunch. You know, 10, 20,000 times a minute, it's making a spark. That spark is 20,000 volts. Now, the amps are really low, so it's not going to, like, you know, fry you. But, man, it's going to create a spark, shock crap out of you. So this buildup of energy and then a release of it, that has been the problem with battery technology using this kind of capacitor technology, because they couldn't get it to release the energy slowly or a little bit at a time. It always came out like a lightning bolt. Well, they go, all right, so how are we going to be able to charge? Because it charges really fast, but it releases it really fast too. So imagine, what if you had a cell phone or a gaming device or your little, you know, electric powered little spy mobile or whatever it is, or your car, and you plugged it in, you went 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, done, charged for another month. This is coming right not later. And it's called capacitors, or battery capacitors, or capacitories, or whatever they want to call it, batter tours or something. And what it does is, the problem has been, imagine you got foil gum wrappers. The foil gum wrapper will hold a bunch of electrons, but you've got to have a lot of electrons put together. They put it in a roll, and they kind of, let's say you got a roll of aluminum foil. And you just roll it, roll it, roll it. You got a big, giant roll of aluminum foil. Well, you can't really hold any electrons in it or anything because it's touching each other. It's just a big chunk of metal. If you can get a good insulator, a thin film between it, you can have a positive and a negative side of it, and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's been the problem. You get so much energy, it will find a way to get through that insulator. And all you need is one. And once it goes, man, boom, it'll explode. It'll blow up. It'll melt. It'll whatever. So the technology has been to try and get a good insulator so that you can wrap a tight foil like that and create a capacitor that can be a battery that then you could have the technology for it to drain slowly. What does that mean? You plug it into the wall where you got high power, high amp, high volt, whatever. Boom, it fills it up with electrons, one, two, three. You take it off and it powers your kid's little gizmo, what you call it, for a month. Well, you hope he doesn't lick it. Discharge, I mean, that's another thing. You get into the safety deal, and I'm a little breaker stuff and do whatever, take care of that. But I'm just, you know, you've got a lot of energy here. I mean, your problem is going to be, you got too much energy. You know, you go around giving it to 10-year-old kids with forks and so on. Lord knows what's going to happen. But, I mean, this is the technology that I'm talking about. What happens when you apply that to cars? What happens when you apply that to motorcycles? Got on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix today. What is it? Probably about six stories down. The inside story of the Moto CZYSZ E1PC, whatever the heck that means, the world's most advanced electric motorcycle. Now, I was in Michigan about a month and a half ago. I was in my hotel room, and they had a competition on, I don't know, Tech TV, De La, whatever it was, some cable show, and they had a YZ motocross bike. My son had a YZ. I mean, this thing was $10,000 bike that was a bat out of Hades, man. I used to race motocross when I was a kid, and I got on this thing. I said, you know, just let me putt it around. I went halfway around the track, came back and said, heck no. That thing was scary as heck, man. It was like instant teletransportation from point A to point B, and I don't remember how I got there. I'm like, dang. And they took this motorcycle, went up against an electric, and it was pretty much even on the cross country. The electric won. I'm going, what the heck, man? Here we go. So, you know, here we go. So we put this up. I've been kind of keeping an eye on this. Well, now here it comes. Now, of course, what was the biggest problem they had? The biggest problem they had was getting the bike through customs to make it to the thing in time. They weren't even able to put all the pieces on it, all the body panels and everything on it, because they had customs dissecting this thing, just being buttheads. So, that's, you know, whatever. A race bike built by a tiny Oregonian company, so this is in Oregon, focused on pushing the limits of electric performance to the absolute max. It packs 10 times the battery capacity of a Toyota Prius and 2.5 times the torque of a Ducati 1198 into a package that looks like something out of a 24th century Thunderdome. Tomorrow it will race in the Isle of Man TT, the toughest motorcycle race in the world. The technology at work is so advanced, so unprecedented, that we may be looking not just at the future of motorcycles, but of all electric vehicles. The reason the all-electric race bike is here, 4,600 miles from its home in Portland, Oregon, is to prove itself. Ever since 1907, the Isle of Man TT has been the race for bike manufacturers and riders to show their mettle to the public. The thinking goes that if you can lap its 37.7 miles of tiny, twisty back roads with an average speed in excess of 100 miles an hour, you or your bike become indisputably proven. Well, over 200 riders and a handful of spectators have been killed trying to do just that. But as recently as 2 days ago, the future of motorcycles was missing its body panels, stuck in customs. Before this week, the finished bike has never even seen the light of day. But even in its unproven, incomplete state, it's been putting in laps that have the competition quaking in their leather. It was like 96 miles per hour. Now, this is twisty turnies, okay? It's a sport bike, electric, quick charging, long lasting. You starting to get it?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, where it's not even hot yet. I mean, you know, we're just kind of, you know, dang it, man, we were hoping to go swimming. Well, it's starting to get warm. It'll get warm enough, but, I mean, global warming. Yeah, we'll see how that works out. You know, we have a some stats on this bike. I mean, one of the other ones that they did, they, you know, fried this thing, they did that thing, because it's running, you know, close to 500 volts. And with the amperage it's doing, it's enough to power to turn a wrench into molten metal in a flash of white light, or split a mechanic's hand in half. I mean, this is, I mean, you know, in 94, I was burned my right arm pretty good, you know, the gas fire. We work on the car, it's a long story, but, you know, I'm going, well, you know, gas has its problem too, but I don't know, man. That big giant, you get fried with a lightning bolt, might not be any better. But, you know, stuff's going to happen. You're going to have, different technology, different problems. But, you know, here we go. Here we go. It says, this year's all new 2010 is two out front. That is, not broken down. During practice this week, it reached a top speed of 140 miles an hour. Okay, so it's not going to be, and that's one thing about the Tesla Motors. A couple of years ago, we've been following that one too. It's an all electric. You know, of course, Jay Leno's got to go, you know, get one of them, add to his supply of automobiles. But that's a sports that goes 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. I mean, I'm going, you know, this technology's coming. I mean, here we go. Now, what other goodies we got? Well, you know, we have the Xbox is coming out with a new one. You know, I never got, my kids got Xbox, and, you know, my son-in-law, he got the Wii, and we go play with that, and we do it. And I always wanted, I'd like to get, you know, a high def, you know, a Blu-ray and the gaming thing, and it'll play some of the old games I used to like Halo and so on. I just don't have the time. It'd be nice to be able to just take a break whenever I want, just flip a switch, and I sit there and play, you know, a half-hour game a little bit and a little blah, 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 and then I'm done. I'm waiting until they come out with, you know, all kinds of whiz bangs. I want it to be all integrated. I want to be able to, when they get to where I could just plug in my internet cable into the gaming system, play all the Blu-rays I want on it, and go straight in to my computer that then becomes a computer monitor that I can run with a keyboard that comes off the gaming thing and do, and then, oh, by the way, it has a little joystick game controller, then I'll think about it. Well, here it comes. All right, so, you know, we'll let this go a year or so, get all the kinks out of it. Maybe a year or so from now, I'll get that, and in my cave somewhere, I'll be playing video games. Maybe, but it might be more fun to get my AR drone that I'm going around and flying. You know, the thing is cool. I mean, because it also has this hover helicopter thing you run off your iPhone. It also has a setting. You can set it how high you want to be off the ground, and it has sensors. It uses infrared technology for it to be, you know, well, these infrared sensors can tell how high it is. You can see running around along the ground, also it drops into a wash. It goes down, comes up. You're like watching an old Airwolf movie, you know, TV show. Oh, by the way, I went and saw the A-Team this Saturday. My son-in-law, man, he's a big A-Team fan, you know, A-Team. So we planned that we'd go, and me and my daughter and he went, and it was way better than I thought it was going to be. It was pretty cool. I mean, if you're an A-Team guy, you know, this was, you know, Baracus and Hannibal and all this, you know, whatever. And it was fun. And something that never happened in the TV program that happened. People died. That was one reason. Even as a kid, I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know, yeah, helicopter crashes into a cliff and falls down to the bottom in a fiery ball of fire, and then the bad guys crawl out and walk away. I'm going, yeah, you know, as you're shooting them machine guns, you know, I get it. So I enjoyed that. You know, you go see that. But what's another one? You know, that's what made me think of that was Airwolf. Airwolf was about the same time. It was a super sophisticated helicopter that they did, you know, their clandestine, we go save the good guys, kind of like Knight Rider kind of thing. Well, of course, they're going to be doing all these popular TV programs from back in the day. They're going to be doing movies. You know, all right, fine. It's better than, you know, not, I guess. One of the other stories that, you know, we'll get to later. You know, on the Gulf, we really don't know what's going on. And I'm kind of letting this play out because anything that we talk about now, we're not really. We had Pastor Lindsey Williams on talking to some guys on the inside of the industry saying it's a lot worse than he thought. And he made a big prediction that there's going to be the gases that are coming. A lot of these poisonous gases, you know, they just, you know, they're lighter than water, but some of them are heavier. So what do? They create like a cloud right above the waves or above the water, and the prevailing winds just blow them over land, and all of a sudden people start dropping, you know, or they start getting sick. I remember this was a big issue in high school when we were doing lab work. One of the big cautions that they did when you would do different things and you create different gases and so on, and one of them was chlorine gas. And they had, we used chlorine gas for something. I can't remember what it was, but if you ever broke it, you know, you had these vacuum hoods that you would, you know, put your hands in the rubber gloves and you'd do whatever. And then, of course, it would vacuum outside and, you know, kill the birds or whatever. But if you had chlorine gas would go, it was heavier than air, so it would have this green kind of fog that would be on the floor. Well, of course, they want you to move slow to get out or not breathe or close your eyes as you get out. You don't want to stir it up and all that kind of stuff. But it just made me think of that when he was talking about all these gases that are coming out from the venting of the oil pumping into the Gulf is that it doesn't necessarily dissipate. You know, unless you got high winds or something, you know, there's a, oftentimes, you know, this stuff will just come up and it'll be a nice little cloud. And if you're out there in your boat going to do whatever and you go driving through that, you better have a respirator on or, you know, they're like dead people. I see dead people all over. So I think that is a concern, and he was voicing that, and it's starting to come out in the news now. They're talking about they may have to evacuate the Florida coast. They're going, look, man, you know, some of these are getting in really high and dangerous levels. We may have to go ahead and tell people, you know, seek higher ground or something. So I'm, you know, this is not good. Not good, not good. One of the other things that kind of got me concerned, they're doing this chemical to keep it off of the surface. the chemicals that they put on, it really doesn't. It doesn't eliminate the oil. It just kind of breaks it up. It's like throwing, you know, detergent in your water doesn't really, you know, make it evaporate or change it into something else. It just breaks it up, you know, so you can get it off your dishes. You know, it just makes the separation, and I'm not sure how much it really disintegrates. Well, what it does is it also, it still accumulates in your drain. I mean, you know, you got to, you know, clean out your drain, hot water, Drano, whatever, but it goes lower into the water, and it creates what they're calling a plume. A plume is just a cloud. You know, it's just, instead of having one big glob, you know, it's gone below the surface, and it's a big giant, just miles wide, miles long, you know, half a mile thick of just this stuff that I bet you're not getting whale sharks going in and doing the scoop thing, eating it and getting any kind of nutrition out of it. Know what I mean? So this is starting to be a problem, and it's covering a lot of the ocean. You know, they're saying up to 40%. Matthew Simmons, the relief well will be, well, Matthew Simmons is, you know, being interviewed by the Associated Press, and he was saying the relief well will fail, and an undersea oil lake may be covering 40% of the Gulf. Matthew Simmons is on Bloomberg, living up to his moniker as the Dr. Doom of the oil spill. He confidently predicts that the relief well will fail due to structural problem with the pipe, and that unless we're content with having 100,000 barrels spill each day, then we have no choice but to nuke the well. Beyond that, he expects that a giant undersea oil lake may already be covering 40% of the Gulf. Then it goes on in you know, more details, but I mean, you know, how do we know? I don't know. Let's go out there and find out. Oh, we're not allowed to go look? Oh, I didn't know that. What are they doing? The British Petroleum is hiring mercenaries to stop media coverage of the oil disaster. Really? By what jurisdiction? I'll tell you what the jurisdiction is. I got an M16. That's my jurisdiction. If they hired Blackwater, the firm would have had a particularly appropriate-sounding name for the job. Guarding tar-stained beaches, Blackwater. Yeah, that's funny. Or not. In their latest eyebrow-raising PR move, multinational oil giant BP has enlisted private security contractors to keep onlookers away from oil cleanup sites. While the firm they hired apparently isn't Blackwater, the private security firm Blackwater changed their name to Z Services after a spate of killings in Baghdad and has now put itself up for sale, they certainly seem to have Blackwater in their sights. Wired's Danger Room blog dubbed BP's decision to hire private mercenaries in the Gulf one of the bestest public relations moves ever. That was, the blog notes that the BP's move recalls bungled decision-making in the wake of Katrina hurricane when the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and some very wealthy homeowners turned to private security contractors to protect their property in the wake of the disaster. But is this their property? Is it their property? What is it? Is the beach their property? I don't know what is their property. Is the ocean their property? How far around the derrick is it their property? Wow. We'll do the story on the oil in the future. I'm sure we'll get to it, but I tell you what I'm concerned about. It's a lot worse than we even imagine, and it will go on for a long time. But they need to go one more election cycle before.